The 2018 Farm Bill has been stalled in Congress for months now, and with the lame duck session in Washington coming to a close, lawmakers are working to bring a revised version of the bill up for a vote before the end of the month. Talking to WZAW-TV this week, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin said the bill is critical for farmers in Wisconsin.
Our dairy farmers are in crisis, and this bill can't pass soon enough, in my opinion, to provide new tools for them.
Catherine Boudreau is a food and agriculture reporter for Politico Pro. Catherine, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into the current state of the legislation, can you give us a sense of what all is included in the Farm Bill? Because it's a lot.
Yes, it's an enormous bill, and it costs about $860 billion over a decade. And the largest part of the bill is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So that represents about 70% of the bill, and that's, of course, formerly known as food stamps. And then it also covers crop subsidies for farmers, conservation, rural development, agricultural research, and also some investment in trade promotion.
So let's dig into some of those pieces of the puzzle here. First of all, food stamps or food assistance. What has been the state of negotiation in both chambers of Congress?
Yeah, so this is one of the biggest hurdles for Farm Bill negotiators because the House version that passed earlier this summer passed on strictly partisan lines, so it was only voted for by Republicans. And that's because Democrats were largely opposed to the plan of imposing stricter work requirements on millions of participants and also tightening some eligibility criteria and then reinvesting some of the savings from that into mandatory state education and training programs. The idea was, you know, the economy is growing, the unemployment rate is lowering, so House Republicans argued that it was time to invest in work training so that more people would be joining the workforce. But there was a lot of concerns from Democrats about whether, potentially reducing a significant amount of benefits for participants, but also just the feasibility of states to stand up these mandatory work and training programs. I think they would have had to quadruple in size within the next few years, which there's a lot of concerns about whether the states would be able to do that. So what we've ended up with, because House and Senate agriculture lawmakers have agreed, they have reached an agreement, but what we end up with is a version that looks much more like the Senate, which really didn't touch eligibility or reduce benefits and mostly just remains like the status quo of SNAP.
And you and your colleagues have reported that the White House might throw a little extra something in here to make some of those House Republicans happy. What are they looking at doing?
That's right. So the USDA is looking at tightening what's known as SNAP waivers. And basically what this does is allow states to waive work requirements for this population known as able-bodied adults without dependents. They're limited to receiving benefits for 3 months within 3 years unless they're working or participating in job training programs. But House Republicans argue that states are abusing the process, so is the White House, so they're looking at trying to limit their ability to do that.
And so Republicans are saying states are abusing this power. States might look and say, hey, wait, you're looking to restrict our flexibility when it comes to food aid.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So I think the USDA hasn't proposed its rule yet. I think it's right now it's waiting at the White House Office of Management and Budget that has to review regulations. So we haven't seen the proposal yet, so I don't know the specifics, but Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue has said it's coming shortly.
We're talking to Catherine Boudreau from Politico Pro. She's a food and agriculture reporter there. We're looking at the latest on the U.S. Farm Bill, negotiations between key members of the Senate and the U.S. House to try to pull this together. Catherine, let's get into milk and dairy farming, a big issue here in Wisconsin. A lot of concerns among dairy farmers about sustained low prices for commodity milk. What kind of things are we seeing in the Farm Bill when it comes to dairy?
Yeah, so the final Farm Bill is expected to basically expand protection for dairy farmers, build on what is already in current law, and that they're going to make it more affordable for dairy farmers to purchase higher coverage levels. So coverage, you know, protection from low milk prices. So when milk prices drop, they'll be able to receive like a, you know, so-called indemnity from the government. And House Agriculture Ranking Member Colin Peterson, I think this week in interviews, has been saying that basically it's kind of, you know, dairy farmers wouldn't be able to get, they would have, you know, they would receive assistance if anything was if prices were anything lower than break even, especially for the smaller dairy farmers, like under, you know, 240 cows or so. So that's what I'm hearing.
And this is what I think they call in the business a counter cyclical, meaning in the cycle when prices go low for whatever commodity, that's when assistance kicks in, as opposed to just regular across the board constant subsidies. So that's a different approach.
That is right. So farm policy has evolved over the years. Now, agriculture policymakers, farmers and ranchers, they tend to advocate for a more market-based approach instead of just sending subsidies regardless of prices or the market trends. So the margin protection program, as it's called, for dairy producers, it's based on when the difference between milk prices and feed prices drop below a certain level. So farmers can insure against low margins.
Another part of the Farm Bill has over the years involved conservation and land stewardship, including a conservation stewardship program, I think that's what it's called. Environmentalists, hunters, and others kind of watch this kind of thing. What are we seeing on that in these negotiations?
Right. So their conservation programs are about $5 billion a year. And so it's not a huge portion of the Farm Bill, but still a significant part. And you're right that this is important to conservationists and a lot of the agricultural lawmakers here in Washington. And basically, there was a difference of opinion about this program called conservation stewardship. And I would say that was the biggest difference between the two bills. But what we'll see is that it remains intact. And this is a program that pays farmers to implement practices that improve soil quality, water quality, air quality, and it will be reduced in funding, I'm pretty sure. So, some of that money will be, some of the savings will be put back into other conservation initiatives because there's a number of them in the Farm Bill. But that program will remain intact, just probably at a decreased funding level.
Now, in the agriculture world, there have been a lot of questions and concerns about tariff wars between the U.S. and other countries, soybean farmers in particular, but not just soybean farmers, being hit by tariffs from other countries. Does the Farm Bill tackle tariff issues and tariff relief, or is that seen as a separate issue?
So it is a separate issue. The Farm Bill, what it has for trade is a lot of these promotional programs in that the government invests money and then the industry invests, you know, some money, and then they use that, they combine forces to go promote commodities overseas to kind of build markets and demand for exports. So the trade mitigation package that the Trump administration announced earlier this year, which is they've allocated about $12 billion, that is a totally separate program, though it's funded by this kind of obscure agency called the Commodity Credit Corporation, and a lot of funding for Farm Bill programs also comes out of that account. But they are two separate things.
Now, an issue that's being watched here in Wisconsin and elsewhere is industrial hemp. I believe there are some pilot programs that allowed states to buy in and say, yeah, we're going to try legalizing industrial hemp. What is the new Farm Bill looking at?
Yeah, this is a priority of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. He's been a big part of this push to remove hemp from the federal list of controlled substances. So that basically means that if the Farm Bill passes, it'll be legalized and farmers can grow it commercially and sell it on the market. But you're right, there in the 2014 Farm Bill, there was a pilot, so if a state had legalized hemp cultivation, they could do research, they could import it for research, and that would be perfectly legal. But Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, of course, wants it to be legal at the federal level so that there isn't, you know, obstacles to expanding the market.
We covered a lot of ground here already. Any other key issues that have been sticking points along the way?
I think one sticking point was on limiting subsidies to wealthier farmers and ranchers. That's just kind of a debate that's going on in every Farm Bill. Senator Chuck Grassley was interested in limiting the number of managers that farms can have and qualify for subsidies, but ultimately that provision has been dropped, that's my understanding. There was also an attempt by the Senate to lower the adjusted gross income that you can qualify for subsidies from $900,000 a year to $700,000 a year, but ultimately that it's going to remain current law. So if you're a farmer and you earn above $900,000 a year in adjusted gross income, you won't be able to receive commodity subsidies. Now, of course, that test is separate from the crop insurance program. The crop insurance program is not means tested.
All right. All that stuff is on the table. Let's talk about the process now. Congress also has a spending bill to pass. What's the timeline then, given they've got other stuff on their docket for getting this farm bill passed?
I think I'm pretty confident that they're going to do this next week. So I think on we'll see a bill introduced very early next week. It'll become public, and we can all dive in and analyze the details. And then I think the House will take it up first, and then when they pass it, and I believe it'll be a bipartisan vote, it'll be sent to the Senate the same week, and then probably sent to President Trump's desk. At this point, I see an easy pathway. I know that there were some questions about whether President Donald Trump would sign it because it doesn't include those stricter work requirements in the SNAP program. But lawmakers have told reporters that they have every indication that the president will sign it, especially due to, I think, the trade uncertainty. I don't think that the president wants to take a risk of not signing a farm bill during times of retaliatory tariffs that are cutting into their bottom line.
All right, we'll watch for that over the next week. Catherine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Catherine Boudreaux. She's a food and agriculture reporter for Politico Pro. She was with us to give us the latest on the farm bill rewrite. Lawmakers are looking to bring that to a vote, as we heard, before the end of this month, maybe as soon as next week.